figure out.
I've got a... Are you talking with the band?
I hope so.
When they get started, I've got a 30th anniversary of Texas.
Who is now and will always be a true apostle, an evangelist for ABC. To us that have had the...
Are there people back there?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Can you hear me in the back? The last time I asked that question, the fellow in the back says no, and a lady said, I can up front, I'll trade places with you. Well, I don't belong to any organized group. I'm a Republican, and I'm very happy to be here. I got my alphabet wrong. You know, I thought this was an AFL meeting, so I'm very happy to be here, too. You can always tell me, apart from Senator Mondale, he'll be with George Meany. Many people ask me how I was selected. More are asking me every day. But I said the president flipped a coin and it didn't come down. He thought I was the obvious choice. So that's that happens now in the contracting business now and again. But we're very pleased to be here. We've been in New York State all day. Anybody here from New York? Good. Now, we saw more people than that, so I... We made five stops in New York, ending in New York City, and it was a great experience for us, and the Vice President with us, Vice President Rockefeller, we were just around to see how a Vice President really does it once he's in, sort of on-the-job training, and it's a nice airplane. I noticed that the first thing. He showed me everything but his checkbook, and I... And it was a short flight, so we didn't have time to go into those things. But I want to bring greetings from the President of the United States. And I know this is a nonpartisan group, so I'm just going to tell you the truth. I guess it's fair to say that I'm running with President Ford. It's fair to say that we believe we have an all-American strategy. We're not going to rely, as you said, on an accent, Joe. We believe that how we believe and how we feel and what we might do for the next 4 years is what you would like to hear me talk about, at least for a while. We've been traveling now across the country almost daily since the 19th of August. That was the day that the president called... our room, and I was right next to John Connally's suite. And on the theory that he might have gotten the wrong number, I accepted before I identified myself. So, I I had a letter from Kansas last week, and I thought I'd made a speech. I thought it was pretty good, and it said, I heard your speech last night on the radio. He said, believe me, you're no idiot. I am forever having voted for you. So that's sort of what happens from time to time. I was asked at the airport by someone with the recording machine. I thought it might have been a radio station, might have just been somebody there wanting to talk with me. I said, how do you expect to do any good coming to a meeting like this? I thought this was a pretty first-class meeting, but, right. And I said, well, I don't know. I understand they're a very fine group, and the inference was that since you didn't all belong to some labor union, that I was wasting my time in Massachusetts. Now, I don't have any quarrel with labor unions. I have quarrels with labor leaders who have a great deal of influence. Someone once asked George Meany to be president. He said, why step down? I don't know Governor Carter's latest positions because we've been flying all day. But as I've been standing here looking at some of the traveling press, I just believe this might be the crowd for the bear story. And I'll tell it very quickly and then get on because there's a curfew at midnight. For politicians. This bear walked into a bar in some state that no one here ever came from and ordered a beer and plunked down a $5 bill on the counter, and the bartender was a little bit puzzled, but he rushed back to the cooler and took the beer out, took the cap off and put it on the counter and rushed back to the boss. Said, boss, a bear just walked in, gave me $5 for beer. Said, what should I do? He said, well, give it back a nickel. It won't know the difference. So he put a nickel on the counter. But after a while, he just couldn't stand it any longer, so he walked around from the bar and took a stool next to the bear, and he said to the bear very seriously, he said, you know, we don't have many bears in here. And the bear said, I don't suppose you do at $4.95 a bottle. So... I want to bring you greetings also from Hubert Humphrey. I saw him yesterday in Washington. I said hello, and about an hour later, I said goodbye. And I guess the moral is you can learn a lot if you listen. But then I went on to the chamber, and Senator McGovern was making a speech, and he said, let me tax your memories. And Kennedy jumped up and said, why haven't we thought of that before? So. The president was coming tonight, but I stole his joke book. So, well, seriously, and they gave me the wrong speech. This is the farm speech for tomorrow, but otherwise we're fairly well organized. And I know you're all concerned about dairy price supports. And so are the cows. It's a different kind of support than you probably have in mind, but... it is a very great honor to be here, and I think perhaps I should... just mention my southern strategy, my wife Elizabeth from North Carolina. She told me, for the benefit of the Massachusetts folks who might be present, to mention that she spent 9 years in Harvard Law School and then graduated. Was that right? Oh. Oh. Well, she was here a long time. And hasn't graduated. Is that? No, well, she did go to Harvard, and in addition, she has some other qualities. But There have been a lot of statements lately by Governor Carter that the president's spending too much time on the job, that he's hiding in the White House. Well, I don't think that's right. Peanuts don't grow in the White House. You're right. Would you buy a used peanut from Jimmy Carter? You have to go back a few years. Some of you weren't here then, but I want to make that perfectly clear. Well, I don't think running around the country necessarily qualifies one to be president. Never thought of that, for that matter, maybe vice president either, but I can understand why Mr. Carter is doing more talking than the president. He has a lot more explaining to do. They finally agreed on the format for the debates. There'll be three, so that he can explain all of his positions on each issue on separate nights. Now, I think the president understands how the government works. And he understands and he knows that the Congress is in session. And his first obligation to the American people is to be in the White House and to be on the job. And once the Congress leaves, then it's safe for him to leave. That's just about how bad the Democratic Congress is. Some of the Democrats thought Common Situs was a suit with three vests. Others said they never tried it. They thought it would taste good. Others just voted for it on orders from higher up. Well, I voted against that legislation right down the line last year. Thank you. Thank you. Confess, I didn't know at the time it was quite that bad, but I... yeah. Well, next time I'll read it. But the point is this. It would have become law if the president had not vetoed it. And that's a fact. And he had said from the very beginning that the Situs picketing bill would have to be coupled with genuine reform of collective bargaining in the construction industry. He also said that the Situs picketing and bargaining reform package would have to have the support of both management and labor. The bill that arrived on his desk did not meet these criteria, and he refused to sign it. And I believe he showed considerable courage in taking action that he believed to be right, and I think this group feels the same way. This has been constructed by the Associated Builders. Well, it's non-union jobs. I think you all remember at the time the president vetoed this bill, there were great predictions that the veto would create chaos in the construction industry. But look at what happened instead. 2/3 of the 2,800 contracts up for negotiation were settled. Strike activity was at its lowest point in 5 years, and first-year wage settlements were averaging about 1.1% less than in 1975. The veto did not create chaos in the industry. It prevented chaos in the industry. And anyone or anybody who believes that legalizing secondary boycotts in the construction industry will lead to peaceful labor relations just doesn't understand what those relations are all about. And I would number that misconception as just one among many that Mr. Carter has about the way our economy works. The health of the construction industry is a traditional barometer of the health of the economy. The construction industry is one of the first to be damaged by inflation. Inflation forces costs up, as everyone here knows, and buying down. A report earlier this year showed that 85% of the nation's families were priced out of the new housing market. And this is a disturbing statistic. The purchase of a new home is not just an economic stimulant. It is rather a stabilizing force in our society. It gives the buyer a real stake in his community, makes him a concerned participant in the civic and social activities that structure and guide our lives, and makes him feel that he has a real, tangible piece of the American pie. And we have to get the cost of homes in reach of those who want to buy them. And the way to do that is to hold down building costs. And one way to do that is to control inflation throughout the economy. President Ford has done this, stopping the spiral of inflation, which began in 1966 and reached a nightmarish 16% along the way. Another way is the President's new housing program announced last night in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which will reduce down payments and bring monthly costs of home ownership into the line with family income. And I say this very sincerely. I'm in the Congress. I'm on the Budget Committee. I'm on the Finance Committee. I know the pressures on the President of the United States from all of us in Congress, Republicans and Democrats and Independents. But the President has held the line. President Ford has stabilized this economy. And moving forward, once again, the economy is moving in the right direction. Housing starts are up. Plant construction is not up yet, but that will follow. And the President has proposed tax incentives to Congress for companies to put new plants and equipment in labor market areas where unemployment rose above 7% in 1975. That would provide a boost for the construction industry. It would reduce and help reduce further unemployment. It would be done without increasing inflation. But as about like 70 other pieces of legislation, the President has sent to Congress, they refused to act and they failed to act. And there'll be no action this year because we're about to adjourn. And I just think that's another example of a presidential initiative sent to the Congress by President Ford, where the Congress has turned their back on President Ford. And perhaps, as I've suggested before, when they lose in November, they'll be a more tractable group next year. Now, we've had the New Deal and the Fair Deal and the Fast Deal. And we're about to have the Ordeal if Carter's elected. He'll be smiling all the time you're going down. And just let me say that we have a choice to make in November. And I trust there are Democrats in this audience, and I trust their Independents, and I trust their Republicans. There went a Democrat. Yes. Right. There may be others. They're falling by the wayside right and left. I don't want to attack, but I guess I do. sort of a dilemma. You don't know whether to do it or not. And I've been debating that with myself for 3 weeks, and maybe it's a little early. We'll wait a while. But I think we've had evidence the past 40 years of what happens when Congress of one party, the liberal Democrats I'm referring to now in the Congress, control that Congress for 40 out of 44 years, controlled by and large by organized labor leaders, not the rank and file working men, but by labor leaders. And if we want to turn the White House over to George Meany, you just sit on your hands until November, and that's going to happen. We need your help. We want you to go to work. And there's a lot more at stake than common-situs legislation. Oh, you're going to get that, too, if they have Carter. But you're going to get a lot more. And it's going to be passed on to your children and your grandchildren in the form of higher taxes and more spending and more government. And I say that with all the sincerity I can muster. If you look at the Democrat platform and study it very carefully, there's not one new spending program or increased spending program. There are not five. You couldn't guess how many. There are 65. 65 new or expanded or increased spending programs in the Democrat platform. We picked out five. Five out of 65 would cost this country, you as taxpayers, or more inflation, over $100 billion. And that's a lot of money. That means about $760 in taxes to the average householder. And that's a lot of money. And this is a man who talks about compassion, talks about streamlining government. And in that same Democrat platform, he's not creating one new agency or expanding one new agency. He's creating or expanding or increasing 22 new agencies. 22. And this is a man who talks about streamlining government and says he did it in Georgia. I say, as Democrats, yes, and Republicans, yes, and independents, yes, let's take a look at the record. Let's take a look at what the candidate says. Let's take a look at what President Ford has done. And I say it with all the sincerity I can muster. I was in Lexington, Kentucky the other day talking to a Chamber of Commerce group. That's what I thought. I said to the Chamber of Commerce group, and I used to tell this to my chamber friends, that please don't endorse me. I've got a tough race. Because that's all he ever did. I remember one time in my race, they sent me a list of Chamber of Commerce managers in my congressional district. 19 out of the 43 had moved. They didn't know it. Now, we're always tagged with big business and the Chamber of Commerce and all these other people who don't do much except write nasty letters if you don't vote right. And I say there's more at stake. And I say to this group in the kindest way that I can, we need your help. Can't make contributions this year. That's been taken care of by the federal government. But you can knock on doors, you can talk to people, and you can talk about a philosophy. Joe, I can't be your geographical neighbor, but I want to be your philosophical neighbor. And that's what this country is all about, not where we live, but how we believe. And so take a hard look at the candidates. Got to have a little water. Now, Governor Carter is trying to straddle the differences. You know, he's endorsed by the Liberal Party in New York last week, and still he professes to be a conservative. They had a liberal on the airplane, some dignitary from the New York Liberal Party, and he signed some pledge or whatever you pledge when you get their endorsement. But then he says he's really a conservative. He doesn't want any inflation. He wants a balanced budget. He wants all these things at the same time writing a platform, as I've indicated, would cost more and more money for the American taxpayer. He also goes around saying, well, he wouldn't push repeal of 14B or common-situs picketing, but he'd be glad to sign it. Well, that's real leadership. real leadership, and he'll get real leadership from the Democrat Congress. They'll pass anything, and he'll sign anything, and you're going to pay the bill. And if you pass on before you get the bill, your children are going to pay the bill. So I just suggest that we need leaders in this country. And President Ford has demonstrated that capacity. He has the competence. He has the experience. And he's a kind and a decent and a compassionate man who's concerned about everyone in this room and everyone in this state and everyone in this land. And I would hope that you'll keep that in mind. Mr. Carter fusses about President Ford's vetoes. He also says he hasn't read the legislation. He hasn't had time. He's so busy talking to George Meany and other labor leaders, getting his orders by the week or by the day or by mail. I don't know how they're coming, but they're coming. And get ready. And if businessmen and businesswomen and families of businessmen and businesswomen don't go out and work, we're going to reap the whirlwind on November 2nd. That's really what it's all about. Organized labor has been very effective. And they don't need to support candidates. They're going to go out now and have these, quote, bipartisan registration drives. Have they been in here tonight? No, they're not going to be in here. And I just suggest that Mr. Carter's choice of the peanut as his personal hallmark is prophetic. It always reminds me of Charles Schultz's wonderful Peanuts cartoon. You can draw all sorts of parallels between Mr. Carter and poor Charlie Brown. Most of all, the grandiose schemes that never quite work out. But the most compelling similarity is that in the end, no one believes either of them can be taken seriously. I've sort of jumped around in this speech. I think I've covered all of it. Let's see. Probably more than I had. But the economy is returning to good health. President Ford has held down the growth of government spending. He's done that by refusing to sign irresponsible legislation. He's not heartless. He's not against education, against children, against feeding anyone. But he has a broad responsibility. We need reform in some of these areas. Governor Carter said, and I almost cried when he said that in the coronation in New York. He said, our national tax system is a disgrace. It was so good I turned up the television. It really hits you right here. He talked about all those loopholes for the rich. I wonder if the investment tax credit is a loophole. He took $41,000 off his taxes last year with the investment tax credit. I like the investment tax credit, but let's don't be a demagogue. Let's don't run around the country saying one thing and then take advantage of it. Is that a loophole or is that an incentive? That's all it's all about. Just tell him to have Mr. Carter tell us. I believe in the investment tax credit. He really does. It saved him $41,000 in 1975, and that's fine. They needed some new peanut equipment. But I just want to say in conclusion, I think the most important question this year's election is which man is most qualified by training and by experience and by his own expressed vision of the future to be responsible for the great engine of the American economy. I think the free enterprise system has given us a means to defend ourselves and thus remain a free people. It's given us a means to provide a nation of 220 million people with more opportunity, a better education, better health, better nutrition, a better social and cultural environment, and a freer political environment than any other nation of comparable size in the history of the world. Now, if we don't cripple that system, and if we trust that system and let it work, we're going to continue our record of achievement. But if we try to manipulate the system, or hobble the system, or hamstring the system, if we try to harness it to serve individual political ambitions rather than to serve the whole nation's economic interests, I believe we will find that it will soon falter and fail to function at all. And I say as earnestly as I can, I have no quarrel with Governor Carter and Senator Mondale. I think Senator Mondale deserves 100% ADA rating, and that's not the American Dairy Association. That's the most liberal group in America. But he's a fine, bright, articulate man. We have different philosophies. And Mr. Carter said his philosophy was compatible with Senator Mondale's. And I want to leave you with one thought. You may be a Democrat. You may be a county chairman somewhere as a Democrat. You may be an independent. You may be a frustrated Republican. But philosophy is the name of the game. And that's what it's all about. And you have an obligation to find out what I believe and what President Ford believes and what Governor Carter believes and what Senator Mondale believes. And when you turn on those debates, and the first one will be, what, in about a week? Listen very carefully. Listen to those positions. Sure, I'm partisan. I want President Ford to win, not just because I'm a Republican, because I believe he offers the best hope for America. And we need...